Certainly enjoyed that. Prayer in song. And I trust that each one of us are willing to say, Lord, here's all I have. It's not much, right? But if you could take it and use it, here's my everything. And I'm glad that God can use us, aren't you?
Amen.
I'm thankful. I want to talk to you about the family tonight. Family's very important to me. Family's very important to God. I think family's very important to you. The family unit is, as we know it, is disintegrating in our very presence and before our very eyes here in this country and around the world. But I'm glad that God still has a model and God still has some expectations. And so I want to challenge you from the Word of God to hearken to a man that when we think about him, we really don't think about him as a father, Joshua. We think about him as a warrior, right? I mean, Joshua, that servant of Moses, the man that was second in command there, that great nation of Israel. And then Moses passed off the scene and here come Joshua. And Joshua had his work cut out for him. But I'm here to tell you, if you've studied the Word of God, and many of you have, you know that Joshua, listen, he just took what God had given him and he marched forward. And he led the children of Israel right into the promised land with God's help. And he really done a great work as a general, as a leader, as a warrior. But when I read this passage of Scripture, Joshua's getting ready to pass off the scene. Now, we had started going through the book of Joshua on Sunday mornings, and then God just kind of redirected me. We'll get back. I've studied the book. I've outlined the book, and I've got some messages that God's laid on my heart to bring to you. But as this week, as I was praying and thinking, I thought about some Scripture over in Philippians chapter 4, but that was touched on, and God just had a different plan in mind. So I want to give you just some truth that I hope will encourage you and challenge you. Probably will not be truth that you haven't heard before, but that's okay. Sometimes we just need to be put in remembrance of what we already know. Learning something new is exciting. You know, I found out as a child, and that hasn't been that long ago, despite what some of you think. I found out as a child, learning is exciting. I hope some of these young children that we could in the academy and the Child Development Center, I mean this with all of my heart. I hope that we can somehow instill in these children, learning is exciting. It's exciting to learn and to expand and to just grow your mind and your heart and your being of all that God has out there, the many wonders that God has. It's just a wonderful thing to learn. I love to learn, don't you? As an adult, I still love to learn. I don't ever get to the place in my life to where learning bores me or learning new truth or new things doesn't mean much to me. I always want it to thrill me and be excited about expanding. But tonight, I'm probably not going to teach you with that said. But being put in remembrance of things that we've already learned, that's good for us too. It sure is. So I want us to look at this passage of Scripture here. Here's a man that, for the second time, has called the people together. And he essentially is saying, I'm getting ready to pass off the scene here. And he said, I want to leave you with some things. Now, in chapter 23, he gives what might be called his first farewell speech. He said, I'm leaving, and I want you to know that God's given you this land, and you need to carry on and do something with it. This promised land, this Canaan's land that God promised unto you. But here it's a little different. If you look back in chapter 24 and verse number 1, he gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem. And I started just to take tonight and just really talk to you about Shechem. I don't know what you know about Shechem, but if you'll write down Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 7, 6, 7, and 8 right in there, you'll find where God called the man that started this nation, Abram, out of the Ur of Chaldees, and God led him along and he brought him to this place right here. Shechem. And it was at this place that God told him, I am going to give your seed this land. I'm going to give you a land. I am going to bless you. And I'm going to bless your seed. Shechem was rich in history for these people. So don't think now that that's just an accident. Joshua knew what he was doing. He called these people here for a reason. There was a rich history with these people in this place. The word Shechem means strength or shoulder. And so he was calling them there and he was reminding them of the power of God and the strength of God that he's given them to get to where they are. There was another time in Genesis, I think it's 35, Genesis 35, where Jacob had told his family, he said, listen, he said, you need to take all your idol gods and you need to bring them to me. We need to bury them. And he buried them under an oak in Shechem. Shechem has a rich history. So Joshua called these people together and he began to present them his farewell. And he said, I want you to know something. He said, I want you to know, as we shall see here in just a moment, you're responsible for your family. And I think he's speaking primarily to fathers, but I believe he was speaking to parents, to adults. And he was saying, you need to take this thing of being a parent seriously. And it's sad to look around and see how many people are not taking their parental responsibilities soberly and seriously. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily in here. I'm not saying that. I mean our country, even our world. But brethren, if we're not careful, what can happen to us? It's not beyond us to get so focused on things and ourselves and the things that are going on in this world and lose the focus that we have a responsibility as a father and a mother, as parents. And so Joshua began to enumerate some things and talk about how God had blessed their nation. And then he gets down here in verse number 14 and he kind of summarizes and says, now, look at verse 14 of Joshua 24. Now, therefore, he said, fear the Lord. That word fear doesn't mean run and hide and cringe and tremble. It means reverence. Now, that might mean bow and tremble. He said, reverence the Lord. Worship the Lord. So this is the first thing I want you to write down in your Bible or in your mind or in your notes. You know, if our families are going to worship God, they're going to have to be led in worship. Right? People, listen, your children is not going to just be born and grow up without instruction and just say, you know what, I want to worship God. It takes a concentrated effort. It takes the leadership of a spirit-filled man and a spirit-filled lady working together as mom and dad, training up those children in the way they should go. And so he said this. He said, now therefore, look at verse 14, fear the Lord. Worship God. Now, why should I worship God? Why should you worship God? As a young man or a young lady, maybe as a child, say, why should I worship God? By the way, I don't know that you'd ever have a child ask you that. Can I tell you, children are just kind of bent toward God, aren't they? They have to be pulled away from God. There are no atheist children. You know that, right? Atheism is a learned behavior. Children have this affinity. They have this affection for God. They begin to ask questions at a young age. I remember mine did. You say, well, that's because they were brought up in a preacher's home. Well, no, it's not because of that. It's just in the heart of the child. They want to know how they got here and who God is. And they begin to ask questions about death and the Bible and all of these things. Who Jesus is. What's the cross about? What's Christmas about? What's Easter about? It'd do us good to study the Word of God so we could give them biblical answers. Well, here's Joshua. He said, you know what? You ought to worship God and you ought to lead your family in worship. Let me ask a question to all my fathers in here tonight. And if you're a mother and your husband's not here, or you may be a single mom, do you lead your family in worship? Are you leading those children to worship God? Say, no, preacher, we bring them to church for that. Well, see, that's a common mistake that's being made in our country today. You do not bring your children to church, listen to me carefully now, to learn to worship. You bring your children to church to practice worship. You need to be teaching your children at home about worship so that when they come to the house of God, this is the house of worship, they can practice what you've taught them from the Word of God. Say amen with me now. Oh, we want to assist you. We want to be there, right? But I think that our churches are filling up with folks who think, well, it's the church's place to teach my children about God. Now, that's your place, Dad. Now, we'll assist you. We'll help you. I want to. Our Sunday school teachers want to. But that's the family's place. Amen. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, look at verse 15 just for a moment. He said, in the latter part of it there, he said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is not a general only. This is not a leader in Israel. This is a father and a husband. See, and I'm taking the spiritual responsibility that's been pressed upon me by the God of heaven to lead my family into worship and service to the God who has made it all. Right? So he said, first of all, now therefore fear the Lord. See that verse 14? I want to give you two things I hope you'll write down and remember. You say, preacher, I haven't done a very good job of bringing my family together and having family devotions and teaching them about God. Well, all is not lost. You say, well, my children's already up and I didn't get saved and my children were already married and out of the house. There's still hope for your children. Don't you ever give up on your children and your children's children. Amen. As long as there's life, there's hope. Teach your children who God is. I want you to notice what Joshua did here. Go back and look at verse number 2. Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. I like the Lord God. That's that covenant-keeping God. That's that personal God. So he said, I want you to know that there's one God and there's none beside him. You listening to me this evening? There's only one God, brethren. Now, there's many little gods, and they come in all forms and sizes. Some of them you can carry in your pocket, right? But there's only one true and living God, and he's the God of Israel. He's the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. He's the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our God is God. And he said, you teach them who God is. You teach your children who God is. God is not some man that had a dream or a vision in a cave. Amen. God is not the God of your making, the God of a tree. You know, just whatever you want to be God, that's God. Oh, no, that's not true at all. We need to be teaching our children that the God of creation is the God who wrote a book. And he left it unto mankind. It's the greatest love story ever told. How that God loved man. And how that man got into the condition that he's in. See, I don't sit around at night wondering, how did I get here? I know how I got here. I know why I'm here and I know where I'm going. But God made all that possible. Amen. So you need to be teaching your children who God is. Teach them. And then secondly, we need to teach our children what God does or has done. Can I just show you a few things before we move on? Look at verse 3. The Lord God said in verse 2, you see that? The Lord God said. And then he said in verse number 3, and I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood. And he begins to recount what he has done for them. Do you good, Dad, Mom, to call your children around and say, children, I just want you to know that the food that we eat, God gives it to us. The clothes that we wear, God provides them for us. The shelter that we are provided with, it's because of God's goodness. God has been good to us, children. Amen. Teach your children the blessings of God. You say, well, is that what's happening here? Well, look at it. He said in verse number 3, and I took your father, God speaking. Look at verse number 4, and I gave unto Isaac. Look at verse number 5, and I sent Moses and also Aaron, and I plagued Egypt. All of these things, what's he saying? He said, I'm recounting unto you what God will do for you. God will take care of you. God will protect you. God will deliver you. God will meet every need you have. Amen. And it's with this confidence and with this faith that we need to sit our children down and get them in this book and say, I just want you to know that mom and dad are together because of God's amazing grace. That we have what we have because of the goodness of God. That we are what we are because of the grace of God. And that's what's happening here. He goes right on down. Look, if you would, in verse number 6. I brought your fathers out of Egypt. Amen. Yes. Joshua called the families together and he said, hey, folks, be sharing this with your little ones. Don't let them forget what I've done for you now. Tell them who I am, but tell them what I've done. Count your blessings. Bring your family around the altar and tell them. We have a need and we're going to pray to the God of heaven that he meets it. And when God meets it, say, hey, come back together, family. It's time to thank God for meeting our need once again. Amen. See, this is missing. There was a day when folks did this regularly. But we're a busy people now. And TV and iPhones have taken over from Bible reading and family altar time. And God help us. Now our children hear very little about God in case it's in the form of a curse word. And as Christians, we need to really get back to having that family altar time. And look at the latter part of verse number 7. God said, I just want you to know, and I want you, your eyes, to have seen what I have done. Amen. So when it comes to this thing of worshiping God and fearing God, bring your family together, bring your little ones together and say, this is who God is, and this is what God's done. You say, preacher, I'll run out of material. Never. Never. You'll never run out of material. You ought to be telling your children regularly what God has done for your family, and then when God begins to do things in their lives, have them to share it with others. It's a wonderful thing. Now, let's move on. Okay, so we start here and we say, well, worship, fear, reverence. It's missing in our society today. It's missing in our society. Reverence. There's folks that would ride by and throw liquor bottles on the church ground. That's right. There's folks that would desecrate the church ground. Can I tell you, there was a day that wouldn't have happened. You look around you on today. Today's the Lord's Day, brethren. Today's the Lord's Day. Well, not today, Sunday. Well, in man's eyes, but today's the Lord's Day. And we need to really keep that in focus here. Today's the Lord's Day. And so here, he said, don't forget to reverence God. It's important. Teach your children to reverence God. Number 2, you're looking down at verse 14. Look what else he said. He said, not only teach them to worship God, but teach them to work for God. Look here what he said in verse number 14. Now therefore fear the Lord. That word means reverence, from whence we get worship. And he said, and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Serve the Lord. Now I'm going to give you 2 words, and I hope you'll remember them or write them down. Number 1, example. And number 2, encouragement. Now you can encourage, and I can encourage my children to serve the Lord. One of them's what you say, and one of them's what you show, right? I can encourage my children, and I did when they were growing up, to serve the Lord. That's me telling them. That's what I said. I would like for you to serve God with your life. I want you to serve God. God is worthy that you would serve Him with your life. But oftentimes, that's not enough. And so I wanted to be an example to them. And so I showed them. This is what I'm talking about. Get involved and serve God with your life because they're watching you. I tell this story often. See, I'm old school. I can remember back when, and maybe they brought, I haven't watched TV in quite a while, and it's not that I'm any better than anybody. I just kind of fed up with all this stuff. But I remember when they had cigarette commercials. They still have cigarette commercials on TV? Cigarette commercials? Don't know. Okay. Well, Marlboro commercials. Remember the old Marlboro man? He was a rough one, wasn't he? It wasn't a Marlboro commercial. It was a commercial about lung cancer. And it had a father who was walking through the park, and I think he reached over, and I don't remember all that happened, but I think he reached up and threw a rock, and his little son come running up behind him, and he reached up and he threw him a rock. And then I think the father reached over and got a twig and snapped it. Then the little boy went over and got a twig and he snapped it, and they were walking through the park. And then they came to this little place, and the dad leaned up against a tree, and he sat down, and the little boy sat down beside him. And after the dad sat down, he pulled a cigarette out and lit it, set the cigarettes down, and he began to smoke the cigarette. And the little boy looked up, and then the commercial ended with the little boy reaching for the pack of cigarettes. Anybody else remember that commercial? Okay, there's one man. I'm glad I got some confirmation. Okay, amen. We're not that old, are we? I mean, my goodness. What's that commercial teaching? It's teaching a principle that we have forgotten. Our children are watching and mimicking what we do. They are. They see what you value, Dad. Mom, they see what we value in life. What's valuable to you? Can I tell you, whatever's valuable to you is probably going to be valuable to your children. If attending church is valuable to you, it'll probably be valuable to your children. If working hard is valuable to you, it'll probably be valuable to your children. If spending money wisely is valuable to you and it's a priority to you, it'll probably be a priority to them. And so here Joshua said this. He said, now fear the Lord. Lead your family to reverence and worship God. He said, but now you serve him too. You know why? Because you can't worship God without serving him. Did you know that? You can serve God without worshiping him, but you cannot worship God without serving him. Service always is a product of worship. You can't worship God and get in his presence and get filled with the Spirit without wanting to serve him. Amen? Amen. Can't do it. And so he said, fear the Lord, worship. Lead your family in worship. Get them in the house of God. Get them under the Word of God. Have family devotions. Teach your children who God is. Teach your children what God has done. You'll never be sorry for it. Now, as a parent, I can look back over my life and I can say, oh, I wish I had that to do over again. Any parents like that in the house? Okay, three more people. The rest of you, it's coming. I wish I had that to do over. I wish I could back up on that decision and make a different decision. But I can tell you this, I'm never sorry about what I taught them spiritually, to worship God, to serve God with their life, to put God first in their life, to make God a priority in their life. I've never been sorry for that. Never been sorry for that. So he said, now you worship God. And he said, you work for the Lord too. You serve him. You serve him. So, well, preacher, I'm telling my children to do it. I've got one better. Show them how it's done. Do something. I've done everything there is to do in the church. I've cleaned the restrooms. I tried to work on the van, and they said, no, preacher. Listen, when I was pastor of church, I couldn't even change oil. And they said, you stay away from our vehicles, okay? Hey, man, we'll give you a little money on the side. Stay away. I'm not mechanically inclined at all. I've mowed the lawn, I've weeded, I've picked up trash. Listen, I just want to serve God with my life, and I believe you do too. I believe you do. And if our young people that are sitting here, if they're going to serve God with their life, they're going to have to see some examples. It's going to take more than just some encouraging, like, hey, young folks, now get out there and serve God. They're going to be looking at you and I and see how important it is to us. Is it a priority to you to serve God with your life? If it is, your children's going to see it. They're going to see, listen, there's two things your children's going to know about, whether you realize it or not. My children's grown and gone. Well, they're not gone. They're here, thank God. But they're grown and here, but they're out of the house. But there's two things that will really tell you where your priorities are. I hope you don't forget them. Your calendar, which represents your time. Amen. Your calendar, which represents your time. And your cash, which represents your money. Those are two things that'll tell you what's really priority to your life. What you spend your time doing and what you spend your money on. You might try to say, well, it's not important to me. Well, if you're spending your time and money on it, I'd say it is. So be careful. That's all I'm saying. Be careful. Now, I'm about through, but I want you to catch a couple of things here that I hope will be of a great help to you. Notice what he said here. He said, serve him in sincerity and in truth. In other words, just don't go through the motions. Right? Serve God in an honorable way. Get all in it. Don't halfway prepare a lesson or halfway, whatever you do for God, don't do it halfway. Be all in with it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Are you sleepy? Do we need to turn the air conditioner down? So he said here, he said, serve the Lord with in sincerity and in truth. That's talking about the importance of working for the Lord. Teach your children to serve Him. They can do something for God. You can do something for the Lord. It may be driving a bus. Thank God for those who drive our buses to bring the children in. Thank God for you. Maybe working on a bus. That wouldn't be my forte, but it may be for someone else. We got folks who mow the lawn and trim the hedges and vacuum the floors and straighten up the song books and sing music and play instruments and teach Sunday school classes. And listen, we could go on and on and on with the different avenues that we could serve God and that we could get our young people involved. And we try and we labor at that and we encourage. But the example is going to be what's going to get them to get involved. So I want to encourage you with that, okay? Now, let's look at the third point here. Look in verse 14 again. He said, now, therefore, fear the Lord. In other words, lead your children in worship and serve Him. Lead them in work. Teach them. Listen, we're going to serve someone. Why is that? Anyone know? Listen, you're going to serve someone. Everybody serves something or someone. It's because we are incurably religious. Now, I want you to listen to me. Everybody has a religion. Now, not me, preacher. Oh, yeah. If you're listening by live stream, yes, you do, too. Yes, you do. So you may worship yourself. Some people do. So how do you know that? Well, I have Facebook. Amen. You can't scroll without 15 selfies. Worship and service. You're going to serve because you worship. We are incurably religious. We have to worship. Look at this, if you would. Look at verse 15. I find this interesting. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether it be the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Did you notice something there? He's not saying if you'll serve. He didn't say choose if you'll serve. Look at it again. He didn't say that. You're going to serve. He didn't say choose if you're going to serve. I'm going to serve. No, I'm not going to serve. No, the question, the choice is, who are you going to serve? You're going to serve someone. Why? Because we're incurably religious. We have to worship. We just have to worship. We have a spirit in us. We have been made in the image of God. We have to worship. And if we don't worship God, we'll worship gods, we'll worship money, we'll worship filth, sex, porn. Listen, there's all kinds of things that we'll worship. But man is going to worship. Why? We've been made that way. We've been made that way. We've been created that way. Some people worship evil. They just, listen, they're not satisfied. The book of Proverbs says their feet are swift to shed blood, innocent blood. They're not satisfied if they're not injuring or hurting or defiling someone. So he said, it's not choose if you'll serve. He said, choose whom you will serve. Is that what he said, brethren? Yes, it's what he said. It'd be a good choice to serve the Lord because you've worshiped Him. Not something or someone else. I've got two thoughts and I'll be through. The latter part of verse number 14 says, put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt and serve you the Lord. So he said, number one, lead your children to worship. Number two, lead your family, your children to work. And then this is talking about a walk. Notice what he said here. He said, put away the gods which your father served. He said, there's just going to be times when you have to set aside some things in your life because it's not right. It's just not right. I'm just convinced that we live in a country that knows, for the most part, what's right. We're just, listen, just don't want to do it. Just don't want to do right. Sometimes I don't. That shock you? I hope it didn't. Is there anyone here that does right and makes the decision to do right every time? If so, raise your hand. I want to interview you. So I'm not throwing stones. I'm just saying we have to remember who we are and where our strength comes from and how we need God to help us. So here's three things that he said. As you're leading your family, lead your family to worship. Bring your family together around the Word of God. Lead your family to work. Lead them to serve. Set an example for them. Then lead them to walk. Put away the gods. When there's things in your life that shouldn't be there, get that right. Why? Because if you don't, that sin is going to find its way into your children's life. The Word of God teaches this. We can be lax and casual and cavalier about sin, but God is not. So we need to be really careful. Now I'll close with this. This is my final thing. I said I had a couple. That was the first one. Here's the second one. I want you to notice something that it's disturbing to me that has happened in our country. And some time ago when I was studying this passage of Scripture, God said, here's the problem right here. Notice what Joshua said. Verse 15, he said, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, then choose this day whom you will serve. Because you're going to serve somebody. We're incurably religious. We worship, we're going to serve. Then he said this, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But now here's the statement. But as for me, see, this is taking ownership. This is taking leadership. But as for me, now watch this now. I'm going to call my children together and ask them if they want to serve God. I'm going to ask them if they want to go to church. I'm going to ask them if they want to get involved in Christian service. Is that what he said? He said, they're living under my roof. They're going to live by my rules. But I remember when I was growing up, that's the way it was. And I didn't even grow up in a Christian home. You don't call your children together and ask them what they want to do. You say, well, preacher, now, I just want to make this very clear, preacher. Last thing I want to do is make my children do anything spiritual because then they'll quit. Is there a parent in here that's never had to make their child take a bath? Sometimes you have to make children take a bath. Have they quit taking baths? You say, well, preacher, sometimes I think they have. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Brush their teeth. Huh? Got any parents in here that's ever had to make their children brush their teeth? They quit brushing their teeth. Eat their vegetables. Well, they did quit eating their vegetables. Amen. Some of them did. I know I did. You see what's being taught here? They live under your roof. You're going to give an account for them. Just want you to know. So be careful. Eli got in trouble, didn't he? Didn't he, brethren? Eli got in trouble and God said, I'm holding you accountable, Eli. Your children, your sons were doing wrong and you didn't correct it. Coming after you. Going to hold you accountable. So now be real careful about wanting to be their best friend. I let my children know at an early age, I'm not your buddy. I'm your father. Now I'll be your friend, but I'm your father first. And I would strongly advise you to give that some serious thought. Let's stand to our feet. So here was a man that said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I wonder if there's any dads here that as, you know, you just contemplate some things that needs to make that statement. Say, you know, I haven't been leading my family in worship. Maybe there's some moms in here. We haven't been leading our family in worship and and work to serve God and our walk, we just haven't really set the right example. Well, listen, don't be discouraged. I didn't preach this message to discourage you. I want to encourage you that it's never too late. There's always room for improvement in all of our lives. Amen? And so when you come to church and God, you know, calls your number, don't think, oh my goodness, I've messed up. Well, that's a good thing that God's speaking to you and showing you where there's room for improvement and calling you and saying, let me help you to move forward in this area of your life. The question is not, will God help you? The question is, will you allow Him to? Will you come face to face with, I need some help in this area? Instead of just shrugging it off and said, oh, well, you know, one day. Well, no, that's not a good way to approach God's Word. So I'm going to ask you to bow your head with me. And I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play, and I'm going to ask you to ask yourself some serious questions tonight. Can you say with Joshua and mean it, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? And I'm